Wolfram, how are you doing?
Hi, Charles. It's great to be back. And we are still at ICSI in our orange rooms. And it's my real pleasure to introduce this time to you Kumio Nakagoi, who actually gave a keynote at ICSI on interaction design, interactivity, continuity, sketching, and experience. So in some sense, how we expose our software to people and how our products look. And so Kumio comes from the Software Research Associates Incorporated. That's a consulting company in
software development.
Yeah, in Japan. And so, as we know, Japan has a very different way of looking at design than American companies, for example. And I thought it would be really nice to reflect on her keynote and to see what Microsoft does in design. And so we'll have a discussion of how things are moving forward in the design world that seems to dominate so much of what we do recently. Thanks for your visit for us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
So maybe we could start. As yesterday you gave a great keynote. Could you shortly summarize what you actually conveyed in your keynote?
Yeah, with my 248 slides, it's hard to summarize. Basically, what I wanted to carry out as a message is that software systems really consists of two worlds.
Yeah.
One is the world of making, and the other one is the world of using.
Yeah.
So in order to develop and design and develop software systems, you have to actually create these two worlds. And I think it has been thought of that those using aspect is as one aspect of the making. And I think it has been true until 10 or 15 years ago, when the simple functionality, the system provides a simple functionality,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You insert an interface to that functionality, then that interface is a simple aspect of that system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But nowadays, the system is becoming more and more complicated. And it's the system is not really described as providing a functionality, but it really gives the users a rich experience.
Yeah,
and you cannot even describe, even an email client system, it's not really an email, just an email client, but different email clients, gives you a very different feeling and interactivity, feeling and experience through that different interactivity. So, starting early 2000 and late 90s, the term interaction design comes in a sense that it's not, let's not only think about how to insert an interface to the existing functionality, instead think about how a person would interact with this system and then sort of frame this system from that aspect.
Okay.
So that's the interaction design.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to argue in that keynote is that this interaction design itself is the world, it's the design space.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of a separated from the space of making the software systems, where you have to worry about the architecture, object models, those. You have to, because you have to make this system, in order to executable software. But this using part is a different space. You have a problem to solve and you have a solution for this problem, and that's sort of separated from the making part. So that was my argument.
Yeah. So if you think about the making of the software, so the interaction design, so is this now part of the requirements engineering, how we actually should design our system, or is it something completely else? And what kind of technology do you use in order to describe the interaction?
Right. It's of course, it's related to requirements, but I think the term requirements is misleading in a sense that who requires that?
Yeah.
And is that the user, or usually naive a very simple way of thinking is that the user requires that experience, or user requires the functionality.
Yeah.
But in reality, user is not in a position to require, because they don't know what's going to be available and possible in terms of technology and building software systems. So it's the software professional's responsibility to draw a new experience for the users. Then who requires that? And so it's really, I think we would change the way of looking at designing and developing software systems, in the sense that you cannot really analyze a problem and then draw a solution anymore. You have to design a non-existing experience for the users. But it's not the science fiction story. It's it's the design, so that it's gonna be implemented by software systems.
Yeah. So I think yesterday you made a great point that you said is, oh, actually, people that build software, they know how to build prototypes. But what you say is it's not about building the prototypes, but in some sense it's about sketching, or it's about writing stories about how you want to use your program. So what's the difference between, then, for example, sketching and prototyping?
So I think there are two dimensions. So I'm talking about two worlds, the world of making and the world of using.
Yeah.
And then I think we need a sketching and prototyping for the world of making.
Yeah.
And then sketching and prototyping for the world of using.
Ah, okay.
So that's the two, things. And so the difference between the world sketching and prototyping is, I cited Bill Baxton at the Microsoft Research, I think. He differentiated in a sense that sketching is more opening up and then thinking about the opportunities, whereas prototyping is to select and decide. So it's like a diverse versus convergence, maybe, that in a sense that sketching is not that you have a particular idea and you draw it, but instead you have a vague idea of something and you do sketch, and then it's talks back to you, and you have more and more ideas sort of generating, and really helps you think, widening your thinking. Prototyping is, you have those ideas, and which is better, or, what would be more sort of combinable, or,
You start prototyping if you have, in some sense, distilled your ideas and you want to see them worked out, whereas you sketch in order to still explore the design space and open up your mind about what's possible.
Exactly. And that should be necessary for both the world of making and the world of using. The world of using is really the story for a human, how a human would interact with the system. And for the world of making, it's for a software developer to think about how a computer would process that information.
Yeah. In some sense, you can also say, maybe it's, or can I rephrase it? It's the different view. One is a system view, that's the making view, and the using is really the user's view.
Right.
And ultimately, I think my now many people say is, in some sense, it doesn't matter how it's built, but how it's perceived by users. That defines all about the customer satisfaction, right? In some sense, that's what's most important. That's why we're excited about phones with touch, or that's why we are excited about, in some sense, the Kinect, which has multimodal input. So how do you see that, in some sense, design changes our input medium, right? So initially we had mouse and graphical user interfaces, and we were stuck with it for 20 years. And suddenly we see very different devices appearing, and all the phones have touch, and initially we had the tablet. But how do you see that, in some sense, this world changes also then interaction design? Because then you have a much better way to interact with your computer, because you can use different sensors.
Right. So I think I mentioned a little bit of about the multimodal interaction, in a sense that human humans process information through, you know, visions, through the touch, and through the, you know, audio. And I think because the brain has a you know, some sort of a characteristics how to integrate those vision, audio, and touch, or you know, the taste or smell into one coherent model in the brain. Therefore, we can, for instance, we can explore the opportunity with an illusion. The illusion is something, I think in former times, illusion should be avoided so that people wouldn't misunderstand the information, like yeah, color illusion. Yeah. But nowadays, you can really take an advantage of the illusion in a sense that it doesn't physically exist. You know, reality, because the brain can make a sort of a model that is doesn't exist here because of the
illusion. Yeah.
And then you have to really design those, you know, fetch information to go into eyes and touch and your ear so that we can communicate this particular information to your brain, really.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, really not beyond, but it's not the world of making people, you know, worries about, right? It's the human side problem.
Yeah.
And so it's not the problem, but the challenge. So what I would like to emphasize is that, you know, as a designer for this world of using, you have those opportunities for the technology for humans to interact with, and then at the same time you want to make a coherent story for humans to go through by using that system. And it's not just an you know, cool idea, just a simple idea to have it, because in order to implement the system you need a complete coverage of a, you know, the interaction experience.
Yeah.
So that people in the world of making can implement it.
So do you think you need different people that are actually then designers, and they have a very different skill set from the developers?
No, I've called this side also designers. There are designers in the world of making.
Yeah.
There are designers in the world of using.
Okay.
But it's a different domains of design.
Okay. So
it's combined through this, you know, software is executed, it's the same system. It's a different world.
Yes.
And I think there is different expertise necessary for these designers and then for this designer.
So in some sense, the designers that you talk about are the mainly people that work in the HCI community?
They have a lot of knowledge about, you know, how humans interact and things are, you know, little things. But for me, it seems like they are not... They are not working on how to build the system.
Okay.
So they are working on, you know, technologies that is usable for the world of using, but somebody has to work on how to, you know, explore that availability and combine them together to make a design.
Can you I recall that you have been a professor in earlier life. Can you actually teach design, and do you teach it as part of computer science, or is this just general engineering, or is it for art students? Who is actually the best interaction designer? Because in some sense, I understand that it's so important to get it right, but it's also very difficult and very different from our normal system developer world. And as you said, is often there's a people just put an interface on top of an existing application, and they recognize it doesn't work, right? So I believe that your work is very important, but who's the best? What kind of education do you need in order to get there?
I think that's really important, and I'm aware that some, you know, universities in Europe and also in the US, they started looking into interaction design courses. Mm-hmm. But and then sometimes they combine engineering school and art school together to sort of explore interaction design spaces. Some schools have, like Stanford, have looked into like business and design together, right?
Okay, yeah.
And but from my perspective, I think what is really essential for those people to have this skill for interaction design is an understanding of the principles of how computer works.
Without that
understanding, you just create a lot of beautiful stories, but they cannot be implemented.
Yeah. You need both sides.
Right. So they don't have to be, or it's not necessary for them to be a programmer or developer, but they have to have a basic understanding of how software works. How software is going to be developed and designed and built and developed.
Yeah.
So, and the vice versa too. Those people who are mainly in ICSI, they are teaching to raise experts in building software, you know, in the world of making. But they also have to have a basic sort of understanding of what's going to happen in the world of using.
Yeah.
And without I think what is really important is a mutual respect.
Yeah.
For the both side, not this, you know, this world is better or precede this or the other. But they are, and that's also a challenging part too, because we cannot really start from here and there or start from here and there. Yeah. I think it depends on the type of systems.
So since we are, or I'm an engineer, I often want to know is actually my solution good, and can I give some metrics to the quality of my solution? How do you measure whether your design is right? Do you measure just customer satisfaction? What is it, and how can you actually measure that? Oh, this is a great thing, and this doesn't work.
Right. So again, let me emphasize that there is a design going on in the world of making.
Yeah.
So you implemented your system, and whether your design is good or not is the design of your, you know, program structure, maybe.
Yeah.
Then you can apply your measurement and then evaluate your system.
Yeah.
But the other side is the world of using, and you know whether how good it is. I think the most of the part can be, if you design well this part.
Yeah.
I think you can tell whether it's good or bad before you implement it.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, if you build the system and, you know, collaborate with this world of using guys, and then you create a system, and if the user doesn't like it, is it the matter of the interaction design? Is it the matter of the program architecture failure? You got to be able to identify, you know, which part is the problem.
Yeah.
And right now it's really mixed up. And that's why I spent the last 15 minutes in my keynote, you know, how you evaluate your research if you're working on an application system, because they really mix up together.
Yeah.
You know, bad interaction design or bad algorithms, or is it the matter of the bad implementation that the user didn't like it? And oftentimes they cannot really distinguish them.
Yeah. So maybe...
And let me add one more, because I have so many friends in this world of making... And they feel so bad because the user didn't like their system.
Yeah.
But it's not their fault. It's not their responsibility to come up with this part.
But in
reality and in Japanese industries, I don't see many companies, you know, realize the needs for the person or for the community to engage in this design of the world of using. And therefore, oftentimes it's, you know, the fun part or primary part is, you know, design, but the rest is, you know, you can do it, you know, whatever you want, and then the developers are in charge of designing details, and those details matters.
And the
people didn't like it, and they are the ones who have to fix it.
Yeah.
That's unfair for this world of making.
Yeah. They don't have the right expertise, and it's not given enough attention to the world.
Right,
of
and it's not
using.
Their fault.
Yeah.
It's not their responsibility.
Yeah.
But they are so nice and they feel bad about it. And I it's really, and I, I feel frustrated.
If you think about software products, regardless which company, which do you think has in some sense great interaction design, and why is it in some sense working, and maybe which doesn't have one, and why does it fail, and can we do something about it? So do you have examples where you said, okay, people really got it right?
In terms of industry?
So whatever in terms of product comes to your mind.
And you're
software.
From Microsoft.
I'm from Microsoft. I'm willing to live with risk. I assume I hear a certain answer, but I think it would be good to get it from the expert as well.
I think everybody thinks of Apple is a great example a successful user experience design, and it's not that they use a touch or it's not the technology, just the technology they are using, but it's I think let me put it that they are not only designing this for instance an iPhone, but they've been designing a long range of interactions, starting from introducing Apple stores, and then the software, and iTunes software, and then App stores, and then iPhone. And yesterday I just went to one of those Apple stores, and then there are 7 or 8 women above my age, so they are maybe 50s, 60s, are all holding iPad. And then learning how to use iPad in this Apple Store setting, is white and bright and really sort of fun. It's like shopping the cloth. A Radio Shack who technology oriented men are sitting there. So you can dress up and. Not really dress up, but you can wear, clothes. And then sitting in an Apple store in this bright white, nice design, and then it's okay for a woman, my age to learn about iPad. So the entire experience is really design. And I think that's one of the very strong aspect of Apple that. Somebody must have designed the entire experience. So it's not only about the product user interface. And it's not about
the whole experience in some sense. And now you say that the experience starts from buying products to, in some sense, the way that products are packaged up to, in some sense, experience it and ease of interaction then with web services and with buying stuff. No, I think it's even Microsoft realizing that they do an amazing job, and Microsoft sometimes leads and sometimes follows, and will try to follow in some sense that model.
By the way, I like the Phone 7 thing.
I think it's so the good news is we are actually learning and we're willing to invest. So since we actually talked about.
I also talked about the names. A name is a curse. How you name it matters. And Phone 7 might not be.
it's again too technical, right? There's no emotion attached to it.
Yeah, but the identity and so that you can easily follow, which version you are working on, or the next thing comes up, and so that you can talk about it. If it's a complicated, versioning system for a consumer to remember, for all the, I can hardly remember 7.0.6.1.2. It's so hard.
I think that's right. So I think branding and naming is in some sense it's an important part of messaging.
Yep.
And I think what is very important that you have in some sense some emotional attachment to your devices. Right. And yeah, if the device is just slick, as maybe it's like Italian clothes or furniture.
Right, right.
And and Apple products, I think, in the sense they got it right. So, but Microsoft is doing also some fun stuff. So, we talked about in some sense new user interfaces, and Microsoft has developed this Kinect. So, how do you see that that fits in, and how will it change in some sense our interaction in the future?
I think the Kinect. I think that the Microsoft has been doing a very good thing about Kinect, that in a sense that you provide API so that people can work
on it.
And then my friend told me that all sorts of interesting things happening that people develop using Kinect.
Yeah.
And that's very nice of you to do that.
Yeah. So there's lots of some researchers exploring the space, and what I've recently heard that there are lots of people that are now trying to see is whether Kinect can be used for the elderly in order to monitor what goes out in the house and observe whether they have enough exercises and how they are doing. So I think it opens up a completely new avenue for things that we can do with our computers and how we can interact. And so it's.
But at the same time, it's. I think it's going to be really hard to like. I don't know what kind of notation would you use Kinect in order to communicate with developers.
So if you
come up with a nice demo for university students, that's okay. They can just implement it. But if you want to make it into a product, that's going to be a challenge.
And
I think what this software engineering community can contribute is this. It's an engineering challenge. So we ICSI community, a community like ICSI can work on notations or what kind of documentations we can do to cover those fun kind of stuff.
Implement.
Because implementation is a serious task.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Now, with in some sense these new user interfaces, we don't even know how to describe the storyboards, how to convey what we actually want to cover, and what in some sense that means is in the end it has to be implemented. There's some machine learning that you have to use your gestures, but how do you capture what gestures you want to use in the first place?
Right.
No, I think that's fascinating. So what is your research currently looking at? So
one of the research that I'm currently working on is the use of weight illusion to communicate weight. We are using an iPad and a system called TCX, Touch-Centric Interactive Interaction Embodiment Exploratorium. And there, we are exploring how can we create a desired weight experience for a user to change the mapping between how you move your finger and how the object, tracking your finger, but the mapping between the speed of the object and the finger changes.
So that you feel
some sort of a weight, like it got stuck or it's heavier.
And so this
TCX allows you to explore different mapping by changing parameters and then do that or that,
So in some sense, what we now see then, and I think also popularized also with the iPhone, is that we use in some sense, we give our digital objects like a ball on the screen, we give them physical characteristics so that it has the right elasticity or that it has, as you said now, the right weight. And in this way we can express more of our, we take our perception of the physical world into the computer and have better way to manipulate those objects.
Right. So there, like former times, there's the notion of like a viscosity in order to understand that. I think the programming language is how easy it is for a programmer to understand a programming language in a sense that the representation, the stickiness.
Yeah.
But now we can, our vision is to use those weight illusion to for a serious task like in a programming environment, so that you can you have a very serious important class, then it's heavy to move it.
Okay, right.
Or even Apple on OS X, you still has to label like a different file importance with the colors.
Yeah, but those
are discrete colors, and it's really it's not really intuitive or a natural way to remember. And red is more important than orange. And it's not what I want to do.
Instead,
I want to sort of actually associate the actual weight.
So that it's heavier to
change the from this folder to this folder and things like that.
Okay, so in some sense, instead of we have now then a physical representation of, let's say, how many bytes are in our folder, right? We can translate that into a weight, and therefore we see immediately, based on the weight, how important or full so things are. This is very interesting.
We're exciting about it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
It was a real pleasure to have learned so much about interaction design.
Thanks.
And I have to admit, it was in some sense very enlightening, because I'm typically in the world of making. But I think by now everybody recognizes that in some sense the most important of any product is actually how we as humans interoperate with it.
But at the same time, the word of making is essential. If they don't make it, it doesn't happen.
You really need both.
Right. I really am into both. And that's, I think, my message in the keynote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it was a real pleasure to have met you and to learn about interaction design.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Excellent.